Okay, anyways, it's good to see everybody again. Monday nights at Dhyanayanaram. And yeah, so these meditation classes have been going for a long, long time. So tonight the monks are here to just share with you some ideas and experiences about meditation to help you, you know, gain a little bit more peace and a little bit more clarity in your minds. And a story which comes to mind is a story about the Buddha himself, when he was striving to become enlightened. He sought out many teachers and he endured many practices. There was this practice of austerity where he would starve himself, and in the suttas it would go into great description. Even saying that the Buddha would just eat like one grain of rice a day, and that he was so skinny that you could see the ribs, like you can see the ribs on his body, and you could see like his spine sticking out through his back. And even though the Buddha had such a strong will and control of his mind, he was never able to become peaceful. And he would, you know, he would wonder why, how come he was putting all this effort in and he wasn't getting anywhere. So then one day, I think one day he was just washing his bowl in the river, and I think the bowl slipped out of his hand, and instead of going with the, you know, the stream of the river, it went upstream, and that triggered a memory of his past when he was a young kid. His dad brought him to a festival, and the adults were just doing their thing, and then he got bored, so he decided to just go and sit under a rose apple tree. And he just sat there, and he just relaxed and did nothing. And he got into a very, very deep state of meditation. And he reflected on that experience, and the insight came to him, you know, the path to like a still, peaceful state of mind. It's not the path of the world, but a path which is apart from the world. And that path, it's not a path of, you know, the cravings that we have, the striving, the achieving, the succeeding, but going in the opposite direction of, you know, letting go, going with the flow, allowing things to happen. So that's what he realized. And insight, you could say, arose within his mind. And then from that point onwards, that's how he practiced. And due to that type of practice, the Buddha was able to develop deeper meditations and was able to have, you know, the insights that that you all hear today that's been taught by many monks. And you know, when we're, you know, as meditators, when we're practicing, and that's what we try to, that's what the place that we try to get to, is a place of peace and stillness. And there's many different skillful means that have been taught, and a way of doing that is to, as you probably heard it last week, but from Janarato, because he likes to teach it a lot, it's just allowing things to be, you know, not controlling. You've probably heard it so many times already. It's just allowing things to be, you know, and not controlling anything, being a passive observer. And you know, you could when you're traveling in the car, and sometimes it's kind of nice to be the passenger, because you can just sit back and relax, you can look out the window and watch, you know, the world go by. And you know, at times, if you think about it, it's more stressful being the driver. You know, you have to navigate through traffic. You got to keep your ear out for the GPS, and You can see like there's two different types of positions that you can take there. You can be the passive one who can, you know, relax and just take it easy, or you can be the one that's in the driver's seat, and because you're controlling and doing, you're creating more stress in your mind. And you know, if you look at meditation in that kind of way, in a way of a duality within your own mind, you can see when you're practicing whether you're trying too hard. You know, where you're putting that, you know, that effort, that too much effort into the practice. You know, as you're practicing, you're trying to be gentle. You're trying to be gentle and not controlling, and just having that ability to just sit down and relax. You know, have that ability to just sit down and let go of things. You know, just sitting down and having that feeling of just like feeling good about yourself. And you know, a lot of meditation is has to do about how you feel when you're practicing. How you feel, you know, we don't practice meditation to experience struggle or hardship. We practice meditation to feel good about ourselves. And yeah, you know, it's just that ability to we're learning that ability to just sit down and just creating that positivity within one's own mind, or that feel good feeling within one's own mind. And we do that by, another way of doing it is to have an attitude of kindness towards our own minds. Kindness and having, and just being able to accept what is going on. And because at times when we're practicing, it can get quite frustrating because things aren't going the way we want them to go. You know, we're sitting down for like 5 minutes and it's not working. We're watching our breath. It goes in, it's going in, it's going out. But our minds aren't settling down. It's thinking about something. It's restless. And we end up getting frustrated and upset. And, you know, when that happens, we're building like a negativity within our own minds. And we have to, you know, be able to watch that. And as we're meditating, you start to understand the peace and, you know, the relaxation, the calmness comes from a quiet mind. A mind which has a few thoughts in it. And you can start developing that by being more aware of the present moment. And you know, as your present moment is one of the main teachings of the Buddha, and Ajahn Brahm's teacher, Ajahn Chah, I remember him even saying that, like, the present moment awareness practice, you know, mindfulness practice is the most important factor in a Buddhist monk's life. The ability to be able to live mindfully and in the moment. Therefore, you know, when our mind is present, is not wandering off, you know, into the past or into the future, where when we start thinking about our past, we're wasting what we're having right now in the present. And if we're thinking about the future, worrying about something, we're wasting, you know, the beauty that may be happening right now. So when we're learning how to meditate, that's the first stage is basically this present moment awareness. When we start meditating, we have the idea that we're letting go of the past and the future, And in the Buddhist meditation, it's seen as carrying two like heavy rucksacks on our shoulders. One is the past and one is the future. And before we meditate, we say to ourselves, this is a time to meditate. Now it's time for me to put down the burden of the past and also put down the burden of the future. And now it's time for me to solely just be in this moment and to experience whatever is going on. You use all your senses, you use your body, you use your ears, you know, the sensations of the breath, what you're hearing. All those things help you anchor your mind in this present moment. You know, when your eyes are closed, you know, what does that feel like? You're just seeing darkness. That's also, if you're aware of that, that helps your mind stays anchored in the present moment. And that's what the meditation is all about, is having that presence of mind, being able to just stay here. And that's the hardest thing for us human beings, is that ability to just stay right here. And is a muscle of the mind, as they would say. If you don't train this muscle, then you lose it. But if you train it, it gets stronger. So all we got to do when we're meditating is to be right here. Just in this moment, if the mind wanders, we can always bring it back. Just use whatever we have. It may be a sound of the traffic. You get a lot of traffic here, so that helps. it's not a hindrance, but it does help us, because it reminds us. If you hear one of those big trucks with their brakes going off, just remember that's helping you come back to this moment. And also, if you have like an ache in your back or something, and you know, you may be thinking about, I don't know what you guys think about, but then you feel something in your back, and that sort of brings you back in the present. So that you can see what's happening right there. The mind sort of shifts off, it drifts off, but then you can bring it back by using what you have right now. All the tools, like to your inner peace and inner happiness, is found, you know, within this body and mind. It's right here. And we don't need to really look too far. You know, you come here, you hear monks talk about meditation, and then you have a guided meditation, and that sort of gets the ball rolling. And then you get a taste of what this peace and that, what this stillness is all about. And then there's something beautiful about it. It brings you back. And you know, the mind, our minds are always looking for happiness. It's just the nature of the mind. And we're masters of it. We've learned how to be happy or find happiness in the world of materialism, in the world of family, in the world of friends. We go back to the things that make us happy. That's why we eat the same foods all the time. We're not going to eat anything that we're not going to like. And how do we know this? The reason why we know this is because the mind knows it. The mind likes what it likes, and it dislikes what it dislikes. And in the same way, the mind has this like intuitive understanding of what peace and stillness is. And when you start to do this meditation, being in the present moment, the mind intuitively knows that being right here, right now, makes you feel good. It helps you relax. The burdens of the past and future, they've just forgotten for a little while. And then you're just here in the moment with a clear mind. And, you know, if you can have a clear mind, a quiet mind, for like 2 minutes, you can just feel how good that is. There's something special when it comes to this meditation path. And that's why people can give up the world that they live in and join a monastery to dedicate their lives to the path of practice. And you hear, I mean, like there's a monk in Thailand, and his father is part owner of the Twin Towers in Malaysia. You know that? So he's got all the money in the world. He can have anything that he wants. Big house, all the cars, whatever, you know. Best food, best clothes, all of that stuff. And his father even tempts him, say, look, I'll give you this if you disrobe and become a layperson. But he doesn't, because he's found something. It's not he's found something with the monastic life, you know, something simple, but it goes deeper than that. It's the, you know, the meditation, which you could say is the glue which holds a monastic to the lifestyle that he wants to live. And it's that peace and that stillness, which is something that money can't buy. And you know, this and it goes to show, you know, if money could buy happiness, then none of you people would be here. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean. That sometimes you just lie down at night in bed and you wonder to yourself, what is the meaning of life? There's always something missing. Like you can, in a sense, you can sort of feel there's something empty there. Like Ajahn Chah would say, like that. It's very deep if you think about it. He said, like, the happiness of the world is like a container with a hole in it, right? You keep on filling up that container with the happiness of the world, but because of a hole in the bottom of the container, that happiness will eventually just drain away. And that's the nature of the happiness of the world. But he says the happiness of the Dhamma, of the meditation, is like taking this container, and then what you do is you plug up that hole and you fill it up with Dhamma, you know, meditation, present moment awareness, just being a kind person, being a good person. That happiness, it fills up. But because there's no hole, that happiness stays. So, you know, this happiness of, like, whatever you want to call it, meditation, Buddhism, spirituality, is an alternative type of happiness. But it's a happiness which, you could say, lasts a lot longer. It lasts a lot longer. It's more satisfying, it's more fulfilling. And that's one of the reasons why I think monks are attracted to Ajahn Brahm, because, you know, he's always cracking jokes and having a good time, and he's a very kind man. You know, he's like, Ajahn, can I please buy this tool for the workshop so I can build something? And it's like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. And he's and he's always making people laugh, and he emphasizes, like, the importance of, like happiness and a lightheartedness in one's practice of, like, meditation, or even putting that kind of happiness into your life. It's like, you know, I compare it to, like, if you're cooking something, right, you always season it to make it taste better, like a bit of salt, a bit of pepper. You can't, you know, you cook a steak, right? You don't season it, it's like, why do you want to eat it? It's disgusting. So you season it a little bit, you know? And that's sort of like the thing, it's sort of like with life. You sort of season it with a bit of happiness, a bit of kindness, present moment, and life becomes just that little bit much better. Okay. Yeah, that's enough. Okay, we meditate now. So we'll just sit quietly for half an hour. I said before, the your mind and your body are the tools that you only need to be able to help you develop a peaceful and a calm mind. So you know, it's been a long day for all of us, so just bring your attention to the body sensations that's happening right now. How does your back feel? Now I've been painting. I've been doing quite a bit of painting today, so my back feels a little bit stiff. So you know, how does it feel? Like, have you been up on your feet all day? How does your feet feel? Are they sore? Are they aching? Just use your senses. You know, what can you hear? The sounds of the car from the highway. You know, the insects. You can hear the insects making their noises. And as you're allowing your mind to rest in the present moment, ask yourself, how does it feel? How does this, is your mind becoming more spacious, becoming more empty? Because really the mind can only do one thing at a time. So if you're in the moment, there's no way that you can be thinking about anything else. you know, if your body is hurting or it's aching, just move it a little bit. Because sometimes when we're sitting down, we might put a little bit of pressure, too much pressure on our legs or on our back. And it's sort of like stopping the blood circulation. So things start to hurt and ache a little bit. So just be mindful and just move it so you're back into a comfortable position. So as you're allowing your mind to rest in the present moment, just see if you can develop the emotion of peace, the feeling of peace. Peacefulness has like a calmness about it. It's sort of like, I think it's sort of hard to describe. There's a stillness, a quietness about peace. But it's not only the stillness, there's also an emotion that is attached to it. and it's something that makes you feel good. There's a pleasantness about this meditation practice. Just sitting here, not doing anything, allowing your mind to rest. Not needing to think about anything, but instead being a person who's enjoying the journey instead of the person who's stressing out driving the car. So what we're doing now is just being in the moment, dedicating our time to peace and the practice of stillness, not wanting anything in the world, not wanting any peace, just being able to just sit down for a few moments and not having to worry about anything. It gets to the point when meditation it becomes like walking. Now we walk to get exercise, to keep fit. And it's something that we, like doing, we can see the benefits of it. And in the same way, we get to the point where we have this positive attitude about our meditation. We look forward to it, that time of day where we can just drop everything and be able to sit down with our eyes closed, with our body relaxed, just being able to just be in this moment, enjoying the peace, enjoying the time that you give your mind a break from all the busyness that a person can have during their day. So just remember that we have all the tools within this mind and within this body to be able to bring it back into this present moment. Whether it's using the sensations of our body to help back our mind, whether it's just, you know, even watching our breath going in and going in and going out. And just doing it with, you know, like a touch of kindness, a touch of gentleness. Just adding that little bit of, you know, seasoning to your meditation. That makes a huge difference. You know, we've had a, we're living a stressful life. We may have dramas at home or at work. We carry that into our meditation. You know, we're feeling stressed. We're feeling highly strung. Sometimes our minds are in this state of turmoil. When this is happening, just remember that this won't last forever. This is impermanent. And just being able to just sit down and bear with it. Because when we sit down and bear with the hard times, is when we start to learn about our own minds and about life. Some of the answers to life comes from the hard times that we experience. So that's the case. It's just how we look at our, it's how we look at our problems. We look at it with a sense of understanding, knowing that through this storm there will be some wisdom that arises from this experience. But because sometimes the mind is like that, if we are stressing out, so just be patient. But if we've had a good day, we've done something, we've made some good karma, we've been kind to somebody, our minds are trouble-free. When we meditate, it's a lot easier for us to settle down into the present moment. And the reason is, it's because we're not carrying any junk within our minds. So the next time you come here, just make sure you bring a positive mind with you. Make some good karma on the day or on the weekend. Do something which makes you happy and makes another person happy, and bring that to the meditation class, and then see how your meditation goes. You'll notice a big difference. Now the meditation has ended. You can come out. Does anybody have any questions about meditation? The meditation they just had? Yes?
No, not so much about the meditation we just had, but how important is sila, or, you know, ethical?
Yeah, I think it's very important because it puts your mind in the right place. It sort of sets up the meditation for you. And It's always known that the, you know, people with good sila, like a more of a pure-hearted people, they have an easier time meditating because they don't have anything to really worry about. They haven't done anything bad, so they're not carrying that with them. They don't get into arguments with people. You know, when you get into arguments with somebody or some sort of disagreement, you carry that with you. And it's sort of like, it is a burden on your heart, and it's a weight. And if you can imagine if you have that kind of feeling or that experience, if you carry that into your meditation practice, would your meditation practice get anywhere? You know, whereas if you're a virtuous person, you keep good sila, keeping the five precepts, going and helping out charities, just being a nice person, and you can see how that helps you in your meditation practice. So it is very important, I think. Without sila, you can't really. Without sila, I think it will be very difficult for a person to meditate. Yes.
This isn't a question, it's just it's not a question. Actually, you did mention the breath.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that when I was learning many moons ago, that helped me, and I still do it.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering about new people. Watching the breath is good, because
it is,
you, in a way gives you something to do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Stop the mind.
Well, it's a very popular meditation object because it's very easy. People can watch the breath, but then if you ask a lot of meditators how long can you watch your breath for, then they just say 2 or 3 minutes, and then they lose the breath, and then they think about stuff, and then they start to realize that they have to watch their breath. But by the time they realize that they have to watch their breath, so like 20 minutes has passed. So sometimes the reason why you don't really teach the breath meditation is because you understand that it can be difficult for people, even though it may sound easy. But prior to watching the breath, there's other steps that you can do, and that's namely the present moment awareness. So what you're doing when you're practicing present moment awareness is that you're building up the energies of the mind, having the sharpness of the mind, because you need to have a mind which is energized, which is awake, and also which is sharp and able to watch something as subtle and there's a sameness to the breath, that because it's not exciting us, our mindfulness will just drift somewhere else. So what happens when you start to develop present moment awareness is that your mind becomes more energized, and with that energy, things just look a little bit better. You know, things become sugar coated, and everything is just bright and beautiful. That's why when you have a bright mind, when you can watch the breath, you can actually get some pleasure from it, satisfaction from watching the breath. That's why if you read the Buddhist suttas, There's a couple of steps actually that you have to be well practiced at before you start watching your breath. Yeah. But you have to experiment. It's like people are different. Some people can do it like straight off the bat, because that's the way their minds, you know, work. If you give them a task, then they can do it. You can watch the breath and it works, great. If that works, then just do that. But if it doesn't work, you can try something else. Yeah. Question? No? Okay, we can finish. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachings guide a great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world. May the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all unharmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana in every kind of birth. May I have a bright mind, mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, and surpasses the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble Lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and illusion.